On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Safer Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, I have a great guest coming up today. It is the new UVA head baseball coach, Chris Pollard, joining the podcast. We had a great conversation, just kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of this roster rebuild that he's had to do kind of on the fly. We talk about the guys returning to UVA, some of the guys coming with him from Duke. And then also this recruiting class, which is really interesting. And he's very high on this recruiting class that's coming into UVA. They only lost one guy into the MLB draft, and that was Nicky Becker, of course, Eric Becker's brother. But everyone else from this class is coming to grounds. Really highly rated class that's ranked number 7 right now on Perfect Game. And of course, that ranking could actually go up because they didn't lose that many guys to the MLB draft, but he's very high on this. And we're going to have something on the Saber about this recruiting class coming up in the next couple weeks. Talk to some of the guys in this recruiting class about what makes this class so special for UVA baseball. It's going to be something to watch as we kind of, you know, see how this roster evolution goes under Chris Pollard in the coming weeks. So be tuned for that. We got that coming up on the Saber either this week or next week. That's coming up. But also a bunch of other stuff happening right now. Of course, you know, it's almost football season. The calendar is about to turn to August. But on Wednesday, we have the first practice of fall camp for the Wahoos. And, you know, we heard from some of the assistant coaches last week. We had the annual, you know, football assistant coach luncheon where we got to hear from all the assistant coaches. Plus, we also got to hear from the new general manager, or officially titled general manager for UVA football, Tyler Jones, who's also acting in that capacity for women's basketball and baseball as well. You also had Justin Sparrows, the assistant general manager for football. We talked to them. There's going to be a story on that coming up on the website, just kind of this new front office structure that Virginia's got going on. But a bunch of good stuff coming up on the Saber this week, next week, and of course, as we kind of go all the way through fall camp, some big topics to talk about this football season, as you know, it's a really testing, trying year for Tony Elliott and crew. So looking forward to getting into football season coming up. But today we got a great conversation with Chris Pollard, head baseball coach at UVA, as he gets ready and acclimated. He has not taken a breath yet, but he is on grounds getting this roster put together. And we're thankful he had some time to come on the Who's On podcast. So here's my conversation with the new UVA head baseball coach, Chris Pollard. Joining me now here on the Who's On podcast is the new head baseball coach at UVA, Chris Pollard. Chris, I got one question for you right off the top. When and have you had taken a time to breathe since you've been in Charlottesville?
Not yet. You know, hopefully in August we'll have a little bit of time to kind of transition from recruiting and roster reconstruction into sort of planning for the fall semester, getting ready for our guys to be out, back out on the field with us in the fall. But right now it's been a sprint because, you know, we were knee deep in roster reconstruction for the first 3 weeks. And then we had to jump right into 2026 recruiting and make sure we kind of caught back up, because we had to put that on pause a little bit while we were working on the roster. And now we like where we've landed with 2026 recruiting, just in time for August 1, which will be the official kickoff to 2027 recruiting.
It's just a wave one after the other right now. Looking at the roster, though, I know with the house settlement coming down, you know, the scholarship limit is set at 34 overall. I know Carla Williams said at your press conference that y'all are about 25 with a little bit of flexibility there. How do you kind of, I guess, manage the numbers right now? Because, you know, all of us mathematicians out there are looking at the roster, looking at the number of guys you brought in. Where do you think your roster numbers-wise is going to be going into the fall?
In terms of total bodies on the field?
Yeah.
I think right at about 42, and we'll certainly use the DSA carve out to be able to carry a little larger roster in 2025, 2026. I think it's the right thing to do. I think the designated student athlete process is a good one and a smart one, and it's allowed for us not to have to make really hard decisions when maybe we've only gotten a look at a guy for 4 months, right? There are players coming in that we didn't recruit. There were our players here that we didn't recruit. There are players that have been hurt for the better part of the last year or two. Really hard and to try to make a determination about their long-term future, and and also get those guys back to full strength and full health by December 1. So I'm we right now we'll be able to carry somewhere between 42 and 44 with the D, with ha making use of the DSA tag.
Yeah, I think that was part of the interesting thing is that kind of transition period as y'all try to get, down to that number. Obviously, like you mentioned, there's a lot of carryover from the last year's roster, the recruiting class that was already in place. I think what the 25 class now is up to 17 players. Is that about right?
That's going to be a little bit smaller than that once Nikki Becker signs.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we're going to land about 15 is where we'll look to be in terms of matriculating to campus next month.
Let's start off with Nikki's brother, Eric, and just kind of retaining the UVA roster. Some of the guys that were on the team last year, are coming back now. Talk about your relationship with Eric, with the Becker family, because I know that goes back quite a ways. I interviewed Eric and Nick's dad, Jeff, a while back. I know he's a Duke baseball alum. What is that relationship like with the Beckers?
Well, first off, I have enormous respect for Jeff Becker, one of the best players in the history of the Duke baseball program. He was an incredible third baseman in the program in the middle 90s, and we actually got to compete against each other. I was playing at Davidson, he was playing at Duke. And then fast forward, I take the job at Duke. Eric and Nikki are they're youth-aged players. They're little league-aged players. Jeff would bring the boys down to watch games at Duke. And again, as I've mentioned a couple of times over the last 5 weeks, there's a picture somewhere on Jeff's phone of me, Eric, and Nikki at the DBAP standing there sort of with my arms around those guys. At that time, they were probably 10 and 8, and I was way taller than them. And now they're both way taller than me. So it's been really fun to watch their journey, their growth. They're both terrific players, and Jeff has done a great job with those guys as a dad, and they've got a great family, and just thrilled to have the opportunity to coach Eric this year.
Yeah, I know you didn't get him that first go around, but getting him the second go around, what, how has he just developed as a player since you saw him in high school?
Yeah, what I love about Eric is he just has a, that it takes what it takes mentality. I think if you followed the series when we played here in March, what do you have, 5 HBPs, in that weekend? I mean, it's just his ability to own the batter's box, his ability to dare you to pitch inside. He controls the zone. He can drive the ball to the backside, but he's got pull side power. He's a guy that can really defend, and so it's a fun package, man. He's a really complete player.
He got a good opportunity this summer to go with the U.S. Collegiate, national team over to Japan with AJ Garcia. I know Kyle Johnson was part of the mini camp too before that. Just what kind of opportunity is that for Eric? And we can talk about AJ too in a little bit, but for Eric, he played a couple different positions playing with those kind of that level of talent out there.
Yeah, well, number one, I think as an infielder, when you can play multiple positions, it makes you better, right? When you can play both sides of the bag, when you can bounce over and play third, that just makes you a better baseball player. And so that experience will only make him a better shortstop when he gets back here this fall. And then just to be, I keep telling my own sons, the best way to get better at our sport is to be around great players. That and so to be around and in that environment with all those great college players from all over the country, and then having a chance to face all those arms, it's an environment for growth. And I know that Eric, AJ, and Kyle will be better from that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at another guy, looked at the MLB draft. He's coming back now, in Harrison Didwick. You've seen him a couple times over the last couple years. What were the conversations with Harrison like about, his decision to come back to UVA, and what do you see there as a player?
Well, the most important thing that Harrison needed to know when I first took the job here is that, as a coaching staff, we had his back no matter what he decided to do. And if ultimately starting his professional career was the right decision, then we were going to fully support him. If he wanted to be back, he knew that he had the opportunity to return here in the fall. And let's be clear, the MLB draft is not always about whether or not you were drafted. It's about how you value yourself as a player, where you set your asking price. Harrison could have started his professional career if he wanted to, but he understood that, hey, I've still got leverage. I've got the ability to come back. I think I can prove that I'm a better player than the numbers during this junior year. And you look at what he's done over his entire career here. He's a guy that I fully expect to have a big bounce back year and be a guy that goes in the top 10 rounds next year.
How do you set him up for that? Obviously he had the huge sophomore year, comes back, struggles a little bit, kind of had a little bit of a brief, glimpse at the end of the season what he could be. How do you get him to bounce back?
I think the biggest thing is just, freeing up and not playing with the weight of expectations, right? I mean, I've seen it in my 13 years at Duke, and I've seen it around our league, and I've seen it around the country. It is a very difficult thing for these guys to play in their quote unquote draft year, and it's very different than and I told Jeff Becker, and I had this conversation. I said, Jeff, it's really different than when you and I played, man. Like there was no microscope, there was no social media, and you didn't have this device you carried around in your pocket all the time, with constantly people chipping away at you and talking about you. And so I've seen it. It's a difficult thing. I look for Harrison to come back and be a lot looser, be a lot freer. And listen, I'm a big believer that ultimately, as he traverses this next year and goes on to play at the next level, he will be better for the experience of having gone through last year. In our sport, you have some of those valleys that you have to fight to the other side of. And when you get to the other side of them, you're more battle tested for having gone through them. AJ Gracia went through that early in the year this past year. He's a better player now for going through that. Harrison Didwick will be a better player not only this coming season here at the University of Virginia in 2026, but also beyond in his professional career for having gone through the 2025 season.
Looking at a couple other returners before we talk about some of the guys that followed you from Duke. Aiden Harris is one who's obviously showed a ton of potential coming out of high school. He's had a good summer. Antonio Parada is a guy that he came back this year. Who among the guys just coming back, we could talk about the pitchers too, whoever you want to take, is just the guys coming back, who has kind of stood out to you as you've gotten to see them over the years?
Well, you brought up two. I mean, I remember being here in March and watching Aiden and Toe in the pregame and being so impressed. Antonio Parada is launching balls out of the stadium to right field. You see Aiden Harris take around a BP. It looks like a big leaguer. Both those guys have gone out and really worked at their craft in the summer. Antonio Parada and what he's done in Kalamazoo, with close to a 900 OPS, and now, he'll have close to 200 plate appearances when he gets back here this fall. Like, he's really set himself up for success. And so both of those guys, I think, are in a great place. And then you look at some other guys. You look at the pitching side, and there's some really good arms here that just needed to get healthy. These guys went through it with dealing with some health stuff on the mound last year, and to get some of these guys healthy and to look at at what they're doing this summer and how they're feeling and how they're progressing. These are guys that can be really good arms in this league. Matt Augustine, Kevin Jaxel, Nate Bassett's been up to 96 this summer. He hasn't thrown a pitch yet in a UVA uniform. So Tommy Roldan looks really, really good in bullpen. So you start going down the roster, there's a lot of guys who don't have a ton of volume of experience in the program who've got good arms who could have breakout years.
Yeah, I think Matt Augustine's an interesting one. He pitched so well, you know, in that run to Omaha a couple of years ago, and as a closer, and obviously last year injured, missed the entire season. He's someone that seems like he's got a lot of potential in the tank.
No question. All those guys we just mentioned do. You know,
yeah.
I've watched all those guys through some bullpen sessions, you know, through some of their summer outings, and you know, and I'll tell you another guy, Jaeger. You know, Jaeger went out and had a great summer in the Northwoods League, and really developed as a starter. Got to the point where he's landing that breaking ball in the zone better, and you know, and that's a guy that you could see a big jump out of this coming year. Joey Colucci pitching really well in the Cape. So you know, the list goes on and on. There's some guys, and the cool thing is a lot of guys that are really hungry. That maybe felt like, hey, my role has been a little more marginal than I would have liked, or hey, you know what, if it hadn't been for the injury bug, I could have played a lot bigger role. And those guys are hungry and amped to get back and prove what they can do.
I've heard you talk before, getting guys like Eric Becker and AJ Garcia in like that, that kind of are the tent poles for your program and guys that you can kind of, you know, set the example ahead. What, tell us a little bit about AJ, as you know, someone that you've been around a lot the last couple of years, and what he could do, you know, as a junior going into this year.
Well, we use an expression in our program. We say, be the same guy every day. And AJ Garcia is really, really good at being the same guy every day, you know, and it was so impressive to watch him go through the early season struggles back in February and March of 2025, and just how he managed that, how he stayed poised, how he stayed emotionally regulated, and then to see him work to the other side of that, it was not only impressive just individually, but it had such a calming effect for other guys in the program, and it was a great just role model for other guys that were going through similar struggles.
You've seen Kyle Johnson do a lot in his career, just on both sides of the ball. What is Kyle Johnson? Do you think he'll still play two ways, and kind of where do you see him in his future?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. I think this fall will be really important to answer that question. And I've told Kyle, and I will continue to tell Kyle, it will ultimately be his decision, you know, moving forward. You know, when he decides to focus on one or the other, he's the one that's going to make that decision. I just think ultimately with two-way guys, and I lived through this with Jonathan Santucci, who was a terrific player for us at Duke, came in as a two-way guy. In the fall of his junior year, wound up making the decision to focus on being exclusively a PO, is what we call a pitcher only. But I just think the player has to own that decision. If a coach or an organization makes that decision for the player, I don't know that they're ever truly invested enough in it. So he and I'll have some candid conversation throughout the fall, but he'll be a two-way player as long as he wants to be a two-way player while he's here at UVA.
Looking at the rest of the guys came from Duke, Noah Murray, he's a hometown guy coming back to the area. Sam Harris, who seems like he's got a ton of potential, and he's been doing well this summer as well. Henry Zitkowski, I got to talk to him a little bit earlier. And then Max Stammel, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else. Jackson is another one. Just what was it like kind of seeing some of those guys follow you, come to the program with you, and you know, you got to see the early part of the development, and you kind of get to follow it through now.
Well, I think the interesting thing is, like, you know, there's some obvious star power in that group, right? With, I mean, Henry Zatkowski started the championship game of a super regional. I mean, he wound up being arguably our best starter over the second half of the season. He and Owen Proksch. And then you've got Sam Harris, who you've already brought up, who's got light tower power, who had a great second half of the season. And we talked about AJ and Kyle, but three of the guys that are maybe a little less heralded are three that we are just super excited about in terms of the big jump that they can make this year. Max Stammel is a guy that we think can eventually be a Friday night guy in the ACC. It's a true unicorn changeup, and he can throw it left on left. He can throw it left on right. He's a really uncomfortable at bat for left-handers. It's a tough slot. He gets swing and miss on the fastball. Things are you can start to see it click for him in the Cape, and we just think he's going to be a starter. And I've used the comparison. It's an unfair comp, but I see a lot of similarities to Jamie Arnold. And the jump that Jamie Arnold made, I believe that Max Stammel's got a chance to make that same jump. Noah Murray just hits, as a freshman, he kind of went through that adjustment period, never gave up on himself, went and had a great summer in the Appy League, the Appalachian League in 2024. Came back and was one of our most productive offensive players in the fall of 24. And we honestly should have gotten him more opportunities early in the year. He deserved it. But when we finally did start to get him in the lineup, he made the most of it. I mean, he had a great start here against University of Virginia in March and had some really big at bats for us over the course of the season. And you look at what he's done in the Valley League this summer, to the tune of almost 1,000 OPS. He just hits. I think the big thing for Noah will be defensive refinement and being able to really lock in at being able to be a second baseman or a third baseman and be a guy that we've got confidence in that can go out and defend. I don't want him to be just a bat off the bench or just a DH because I can see him growing into a guy that you want to keep that bat in the lineup every day. And then the guy that's probably flying the most below the radar is Zach Jackson. This was a football baseball recruit to Duke. We actually saw him as a baseball recruit first and brought him to Mike Elko's attention when Coach Elko was still the football coach at Duke. And basically, like with a lot of two-sport guys, I went to Coach Elko and said, "Hey, we're hearing this guy's getting some legitimate Division I football interest. Are y'all talking to him? Because we think there's real potential there in baseball." It wasn't a couple of weeks later, Coach Elko got back and said, "Hey, I think we're interested in this kid." And we started the dual recruitment, and he wound up committing to Duke. And then, had a really good junior season where there was some legitimate draft discussion. And then not a great senior season from a baseball perspective. And then after the season was over with, he basically put the bat and glove down and reported to campus at Duke for summer workouts. And he went from June to January without touching a bat. And I was really nervous about whether or not he could even make our team. I brought him in January and said, "Zach, I'm just telling you, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep you on the 40-man roster this spring. You've just got a lot of rust that you're going to have to work off in a very short amount of time." What I can tell you is that by the end of the spring, we were seeing things that you could dream on that guy eventually being a day one draft pick. He can run, he can throw, he's going to be a plus-plus defender in center field. There's a lot of bat to ball. His early BP rounds in January, he probably averaged 96, 97 miles an hour exit velo off the bat. In May, he was routinely getting 108s and 109s off and driving the ball out of the ballpark in BP. I think you could make a compelling case if you talk to guys that saw him every day that, like, "Hey, y'all probably should have played him more down the stretch." But he's gone out, he's played really well in the Appalachian League this summer. I think that's a guy that could make a really big jump this fall.
One of the big things I want to talk to you about is this 25 recruiting class. I know you've moved on to 26 and you got 27 and just over the horizon, but this class, Perfect Game, ranks currently number 7 nationally. I know they got to update some things after the MLB draft once all that gets squared away. But talking to some of these guys in this class, it seems like a pretty special group. And one phrase that you've used with them a lot, and I think they even have a group text with it, is "kick down the door." Talk a little bit about what that phrase means and why you think this class is so special.
Well, I think that the ceiling for this class is as high as any recruiting class in my career, 26 years. I just think if you look at so many of the guys in this class and you say, what's the ceiling for that individual as a player? Like you can dream on a lot of these guys to be day one draft picks, even first rounders. Jaden Stroman has first round tools. Noah Yoder has a first round arm. Griffin Ennis could be Vance Honeycutt one day. I mean, there's so many guys in this class that just have elite upside. And so, I'm excited to get these guys out on the field and see what kind of jumps they're able to make. The neat thing for me, like this fall, more than I can remember, maybe any of my career, we're going to have to be great at player development, because there's some really high-end talent. Now it's our job to go out and help these guys become the best versions of themselves.
You mentioned Jaden Stroman. Obviously, you've got a long history with his family as well. What talk about that relationship with him, with Marcus, and kind of just the whole Stroman family.
So, I never had the opportunity to coach Marcus. Actually coached against him, right? So in 2012, my last year at Appalachian State, he was pitching for Duke. And to tell you how good Marcus Stroman was, this will give you an idea of how electric Marcus Stroman was when he was in college. I'll never forget, it was a Tuesday in March, and we had traveled down the mountain from Boone to play Duke in Durham. And we had a really good team in 2012. That was a team that we brought here to Charlottesville for that regional. And it was a bunch of veteran guys, and they weren't scared of anybody. And we walked into the DBAP, and as we're coming in, getting ready for pregame, Marcus is throwing his midweek pin, right? He was a Friday night guy, so he's throwing his Tuesday pin. And our players literally stopped in their tracks, took out their phones and started taking pictures and filming his midweek bullpen. That's how electric that guy was. But it's been fun to develop a friendship with Marcus over the years. It honestly didn't have a lot of influence on whether or not we recruited Jaden. Jaden would have been a top recruit for us, whether he was Marcus's brother or not. Jaden is a special player. And they'll tell you, and their dad Earl will tell you, they're very different people. Jaden has an elite work ethic. If you hang around the dish this summer, he is always in the stadium. He is always hitting, doing mobility, getting extra work in. He's a guy that loves to work. And so he's got a great motor and just an incredible skill set. He can run, he can hit for power, he's got elite arm strength. I mean, it is a true five tool kind of package, and it's going to be fun to see him develop those skills over the next couple of years.
Where do you see him focusing? Because he's a guy that has a lot of versatility in his game.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a question that he and I've talked about a lot. If you talk to scouts, some scouts would tell you that they see him in center field long term. I'll never forget this fall, I did a Zoom with him and his dad, and he said, "Hey, I'm getting a lot of pressure from scouts to move to center field and give up pitching." And I said, "Jaden, if I were you, I would stay in the dirt, I would stay at shortstop, and I would keep pitching as long as I could." I said, "It's always easier to go from the infield to the outfield than vice versa. So stay in the infield, stay in the middle infield as long as you can." And as far as the pitching stuff goes, like just, again, give yourself that opportunity to develop in the best version of yourself. And then fast forward to the spring, and he's topping out at 98. And now all these scouts that 5 months ago were telling him he should give up pitching completely are now telling him that he could be a potential day one draft pick as a pitcher. So, I want to see him continue to do both. We've got to be smart with how we manage it. We got to be smart with his arm. Yeah, he and I've already had some specific conversation about how we'd like to utilize his two-way talents in the fall to protect his health. We've got a strategy and a game plan for that, and it's going to be fun to get him out there and take advantage of all the really impressive things that he can do on a field.
I know a lot of people are talking about some of the pitchers coming in. You've mentioned them, Noah Yoder, Jaden. There's John Paon, who I talked to, a couple of different guys. I'm going to forget some guys just naturally because there's so many guys in this class. How do you see some of those guys developing? Are you seeing any of them? I mean, obviously it'll depend a lot on how this fall goes and kind of see how they compete.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of high-end arm talent, and it's a lot of guys with like top-end stuff. Got a bunch of guys that have been mid-90s, some even a tick better. As far as how you use those guys, I just think that's what the fall is all about. We don't have incumbents here this year, right? We don't have guys that logged 75 innings as a starting pitcher the previous year, and you've kind of slotted that guy in as a starting pitcher again. It's like every guy competing for every inning. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. I've told guys this will be a true meritocracy out here this fall. It's like every guy going out there every day to fight to earn whatever innings, whatever at bats they get. And I'm so excited about it.
Yeah, you mentioned before just the meritocracy and all that stuff. I mean, it seems like there's 14, 16 guys that could play in any of the positions, out there in the field, from outfield to, the infield. Looking at, I know you've been trying to target some lefty pitchers. You got one in the transfer portal, and obviously he signed an undrafted deal in the MLB. How are you feeling about kind of that position right now as you're kind of filling out the rest of this roster?
Yeah, I mean that's been the toughest nut to crack, right? I mean we've lost some really good left-handed pitching to the portal. We've committed a couple of guys and then lost them to the draft, and so we are still actively recruiting for left-handed pitching. It's a tough time of year to do that, right? There's not it's so we're turning over a lot of rocks. We've got some left-handed pitching that we're excited about. I'm excited for Tommy Roldan to get healthy. I'm excited about the three guys that we've brought in from Duke, but it's definitely a spot of concern when it comes to depth.
How do you, I mean, assuming, you're going with what you got right now, how do you kind of pitch around that, with, all the righties that you have in the arsenal too?
Yeah, I mean, it's too early to tell, but
Yeah.
one strategy that's crossed my mind is that, this could be a lot like our 2023 team at Duke, where we don't use traditional starters. We use a lot of openers, and we have a lot of quote unquote bullpen games, and we put a lot of guys out there in short sprints, rather than longer outings where a guy's got to try to go two or three times through the lineup. Could be a year where we just use a lot of guys one time through the lineup, but time will tell, right? I mean, as we get further into the fall and we see how guys develop, and who's able to develop a third pitch, and who's able to pitch inside, and who holds their stuff, and who really commands the zone. I think that's the fun thing about the fall.
Chris, I appreciate you joining me. Have you reacquainted yourself with Charlottesville
Ha, no.
yet?
I'm very familiar with Disharoon Park now, spending a lot of time here, but I haven't gotten out and really enjoyed Charlottesville to the extent that we will. My family and I will, but right now it's been a lot of long days here in this office, and it will be continue to be, but it's also been a lot of fun, and it's been really productive.
Now the office looks like it's coming together. You got some
Yeah,
frames back
you can
there.
see some stuff back there now, right? Yeah.
Yeah, just gotta clear up the wall, but I'm sure you've got some help
We're
for
on it. Yeah, we're trust me. We're
that.
working on it.
All right, Chris, thank you so much for joining the Who's On podcast.
Yeah, great to chat with you.
All right, that was my conversation with UVA head baseball coach Chris Pollard. I want to thank Chris again for coming on the show, talking some baseball, talking this roster for next season. That is going to do it for the Who's On podcast for today. We will be back later in the week with a little bit of coverage surrounding Virginia football's first practice of fall camp as the season quickly approaches. But that's going to do it for the Who's On podcast. Thank you for listening and tuning in here. We want to remind you, go to Apple. Go to Spotify, give us a review, 5-star review on Apple. Does a world of good. We appreciate it as we kind of get gearing up for, believe it or not, season number two of the Who's On podcast. It has been a great first year. We're rolling right into the next season of the Who's On podcast. Thank you for listening all along the way. review, rate, subscribe, follow, whatever you got to do. It's all appreciated. But that's going to do it for the Who's On podcast. We will see you later in the week.
Field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.